Welcome back. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Big thanks to my colleague Greg Gunderson out of WCQM Park Falls and my colleague Rich Lacazio out of WRJN for a lot of fun talking pro wrestling, our last segment. But now it is time to get to the news because we're all about real news and great conversation here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Got a fine guest with me this afternoon. His name is Jeremy Janine, creator of Urban Milwaukee, journalist extraordinaire. And I am going to make a plug here, a panelist with me for an event that is occurring this afternoon. 1MKE is presenting an event called Your Ballot, Your Future, a voter's guide to the 2025 Wisconsin elections. That event, which is free to attend, is happening tonight at MATC's downtown campus. There's a great lineup of speakers, of course, including Jeremy and myself. There are vendors, art activities, there's going to be food, all kinds of cool panels all about Wisconsin's spring election coming up on April 1st. Please, if you don't have any plans, you want to see me and Jeremy do our thing live and in living color in three dimensions, if you will, then come on down. That event starts tonight at 5 p.m. This is at MATC's downtown campus. Just Google 1MKE MATC. You'll find the event. You can RSVP there. Please check it out. I have also posted the event to my LinkedIn feed, which is under Margaret Dawn, because that's my biz name when I'm not on the radio. You can check it out there. Jeremy, you have got some breaking news for us. Do tell.
Yeah, we're not even to the point of being hot off the press because the article is still being edited, but we can preview it here first for Civic Media listeners. So perfect timing. Big news out of the United States Department of Transportation, something that we've seen coming from the minute Donald Trump was elected. But we haven't understood the how of how they're going to do it. I'm going to read to you this memo, just a key line from it to give you a sense of what's happening here. And this is a review to cut or rescind several grants, which includes up to $80 million in Milwaukee. And I just real quickly, while we were at break, identified at least $30 million of other grants in Wisconsin. I'm sure there's more. But quoting from the memo, an internal memo in the United States Department of Transportation, the focus of this review is to identify project scope and activities that are allocating funding to advance climate, equity, and other priorities counter to the administration's executive orders. Well, what might climate and equity mean? It turns out that means things like bike lanes. It might mean things like racial equity. So that could be justification for putting projects in impoverished areas. And just to give you an example of what these projects are in Milwaukee, then we can talk a bit more statewide. In Milwaukee, it means a project $15 million federal grant to rebuild Villard Avenue in Old North Milwaukee, $25 million to rebuild National Avenue, essentially from the lake the entire way to the city's border with West Milwaukee and West Allis, $15 million to rebuild or to build an electric vehicle charging network across the entire city, actually even a little bit outside of the city with the idea of adopting more electric vehicles. And then $25 million to rebuild Center Street through the heart of the city. And then
Go ahead, please.
I was going to say the grants outside of Milwaukee that I was quickly able to identify that are subject to this review. There's a grant to Kenosha in 2023, came at the same cycle that Milwaukee won this Villard Avenue grant, and it is to build a bike trail connection, notably a bridge. And then in January, the Menominee Nation in Menominee County got $25 million to rebuild 40 miles of roadway. And additionally, Milwaukee County, and this goes back to your time with Milwaukee County, I'm sure you were involved in this, got a grant of several million dollars to put up barriers on the highway in Milwaukee County's northwest side, sound barriers.
I'm almost in a way rendered speechless, Jeremy, because literally, it seems that the projects are being pulled if they happen to have anything to do with Democratic leaning counties or black and brown neighborhoods. Like, it's not about, oh, this is some sort of DEI equity unfairness, but no, it's like, if it has anything to do with a predominantly black or brown neighborhood, we're going to cut it. And if it has anything to do other than encouraging more people to get in their single person vehicles and drive a long distance on a federally funded highway to commute many miles to go to their jobs, then it's bad. Is there any explanation other than whatever they decide on today, Wednesday, is quote equity or related to climate, which most conservatives, at least by my estimation, fail to be able to actually articulate in any meaningful or consistent manner? I don't get it. Is my understanding that this seems to be very targeted at black and brown communities and Democratic leaning counties, or am I missing something here?
I think even if explicitly that wasn't your goal, the implicit reality of what happens is certainly that it's going to impact majority minority communities. And then one thing I should hit on with these grants, they're trying to claw back this money. But when we look at like the National Avenue project, $25 million is part of this, I think it's a 40 some million dollar project now. That money isn't all to build protective bike lanes. It's not all to make it safer to pedestrians. The bread and butter, the most expensive part of that project, is rebuilding the roadway people drive on. And now it'll be really interesting to see how much of that money they take back.
This is another way to put this, if I can be so blunt, is these are basic infrastructure improvements or maintenance expenditures that have been breaking the budgets of local governments across this state, because frankly, we have a shared revenue formula in the state where local governments don't actually get to retain the income taxes or property taxes that are generated out of their jurisdiction. And we've got this antiquated formula, which was recently updated, but not enough updated. I could go on about shared revenue, but the reality is these are expenses that are borne nearly exclusively by local governments. And absent federal grant funding like this, local governments, whether you're in a rural area and it's coming through your county, or in some of our more populated areas in the state, this sort of approach to infrastructure improvement and maintenance spending, to me, is gosh darn frightening. Like Menominee County wouldn't put that on the list of counties to get hit by the Trump administration. Oh, except it involves Native Americans and First Nation peoples. So I guess that means it's on the chopping block. What is the organizing principle, if you can discern one, Jeremy, about who gets the money and who doesn't? It seems to be extremely, extremely biased.
From the moment Sean Duffy was announced as the United States Department of Transportation Secretary, it was clear two things mattered. Airplane passengers, and we can have a whole nother segment about how that's unfortunately gone. And then thing two was people driving alone in cars. And so those are the two things that get a pass with these grants. Those areas aren't subject to review, but everything else goes into this bucket of equity, Green New Deal, buzzword of the week, define it how you want it. We're now going to review it and possibly rescind it.
Folks, you're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. I've got with me for a segment every Wednesday at 2:30 that we call Milwaukee as a Microcosm, because as goes Milwaukee, so goes the state. His name is Jeremy Janine, creator of Urban Milwaukee and a journalist. We're talking about some breaking news. The Trump Department of Administration looking to target upwards of $110 million in grant funding earmarked for local governments and county governments across the state, not just in southeastern Wisconsin, but across the state, that is going to make it more difficult for local governments to make the infrastructure investments that are essential to help get people to work every day, to help, frankly, have attractive environments to bring businesses in or to keep businesses in these jurisdictions. Really a shocking development that I love it how the answer to equity, if they don't like it, is discrimination. Like, oh, if it has anything to do with black and brown people, then that's bad. I mean, I forget when a lot of folks voted for Trump that they were voting for like more racial discrimination. We want more of that. I didn't remember hearing that. If you would like to join our conversation, 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. Civic. I'm going to tamp my hair back down. It's a little bit on fire, Jeremy. So now, having put out my smoldering hair on fire because of that bit of breaking news, first, before I move on to your next bit that we're going to cover here, please tell people where they can find this reporting from you and Urban Milwaukee to read more about these cuts.
You can find that story, which will be published shortly, and everything else at urbanmilwaukee.com.
Again, that's urbanmilwaukee.com. Again, my commentary here, not Jeremy's, of course, A. And B, I again want to say this. What Urban Milwaukee provides to southeastern Wisconsin, because you cover really Milwaukee County and touch upon our collar counties, the Wild counties as well, Racine and Kenosha counties, it is really what I think every local community deserves from local journalists, and that is an understanding of local government that's displayed in your coverage every day that provides people an insight into whether or not their local government is actually working for them well, efficiently, and effectively. So thank you for your continued work. Jeremy, what else is top of mind today from your work at Urban Milwaukee?
Well, unfortunately, I don't have a stream of good news to follow that up with. We can talk more about what we talked about last week, because the issue has continued to move lead inside schools, and that is 10 more schools, 10 more Milwaukee public schools will be subject to investigations just because of their age, potential concerns about lead hazards. And we know that at least four schools have played roles in poisoning children.
So, Jeremy, we were talking last week about the fact that some of these issues involving lead in old public school buildings seem to be caused by remediation rules that weren't being followed carefully, and that administrators were tipped off because kids were popping positive lead blood tests in their annual reviews. How were these next set of schools identified, and what's being done?
The health department held the Milwaukee Health Department held a press conference Friday, and they haven't given us the list of these schools yet. And the reason why, so they say, I think it's a fair reason that they want to notify the parents first. It's now been half a week later. I'm hoping we get this list of schools soon. But the reason they were identified is, one, their age. Any building built before 1978 is going to be subject to lead paint. That's when it was phased out on a national level. But that's most of it, Milwaukee public schools. That's probably most public schools in the entire state. This list came from what the health department identified as its priorities and what the school system identified as its priorities. And I'm quoting from the health commissioner now. It's a pretty basic measure, but that helps us prioritize the school and then marry that with what the district is looking at as well. And I say this because one of the schools they investigated already on the city's near west side had no lead hazards found, that all the proper practices had been followed. Anywhere there was lead paint, it had been covered. But these are schools that both sides have flagged that, hey, we should do some looking.
Folks, that is Jeremy Janine of Urban Milwaukee. Had a little bit of breakup there just towards the end of your statement. Jeremy, here is my question. We've got just about a minute left or so. I asked last week, why aren't they just testing all of the schools, especially if it seemed that some of the evaluations were coming up with like, no, we don't have a problem here, and yet there's a problem there. Have they changed their approach to how they're looking at these schools? Obviously, those built before 1978 or with paint that was used that was pre-1978. What's the approach to make sure more Milwaukee kids aren't at risk than already known?
But I want to talk about two key things there. One, something I said last week I should expand on, that I talked about there's kind of a surveillance system built into schools that kids are supposed to be getting tested for lead poisoning, but that only extends until you're age six. Well, anyone that's got a kid in elementary schools knows that that doesn't extend to everyone. So the health department is now offering clinics. So that's a key thing going forward. The other thing is the cost.
We're gonna hold it right there. We're gonna repeat that first thing in case you've got a kid in the MPS system, so you can ensure your child's safety. We're gonna repeat the process that they're using to identify problems in MPS schools with lead. Don't forget, this could be going on in your neck of the woods as well, an issue in older public schools. We come back with Jeremy Janine of Urban Milwaukee. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.